to the area.
Mine were marital, blessed and bountiful. Life and business prospered with Marjorie at my side. She was also a model whose striking appeal helped land a pivotal fashion name. A neighbor of my parents, a busy and successful manufacturer's representative and garment center veteran, provided the first client lead. One of his brands was Lafer Sportswear, a relatively nondescript men's sportswear company that had been assigned production rights for a line of Jackie Robinson t-shirts. My neighborhood ally must have done a good job of pre-selling because Lafer partners were attentive and enthusiastic during the hiring interview. We were all on new ground. I didn't have any clients. Freelance didn't count. And they had never worked with an advertising man or woman. At the time, the latter hardly ever advanced beyond reception. I was hired when I said I would personally handle the account. Who else? And assist with all store promotion. Now, it would be incomprehensible that a star of Robinson's magnitude would be subject to such obsequiousness, a small, unknown manufacturer and an even smaller, untried advertising firm. We were Oscar and Felix, the odd couple of big league marketing. But this was 1950, only 3 years after Robinson had cracked baseball's color line, and 4 before the landmark Brown v. Board of Education would declare segregated classrooms inherently unequal. For many, Jackie was still an unwelcome pariah, not pioneer. He was cautiously testing endorsement waters. For a Negro athlete, no matter how accomplished, the waters were murky and unfriendly. I met Robinson in his agent's office. Jackie loomed larger than life. This was more than just meeting a famous athlete or seeking an autograph. I remembered Coogan's Bluff, the polo grounds, the New York Giants, and my childhood dream of being a sports writer. Now, I was in the company of one of the premier athletes of our time, and this wasn't a dream. I was starstruck and would have loved to talk with Robinson, but he was guarded, shy, and withdrawn. His mounting discomfort was palpable. He just nodded and paced the room in his familiar pigeon-toed gait. When he spoke, his high-pitched voice sounded out of place coming from that strong, athletic face. The agent did most of the talking.
"This is the photograph we will use on the shirts," he said,
pulling out an 8x10 portrait of Robinson.
"It should be simple and clean, and I would like to see some advertising layouts."
The Lafers nodded agreeably. I thought the photo was dull and unappealing. Jackie was the National League batting champion, most valuable player and base stealer par excellence. He was action, not a headshot. I think a visual of Jackie sliding home would be a far more appealing style and make a better ad. Jackie's most exciting when he's on base. We could use an action photo or do a realistic drawing from the picture itself. "What do you think, Jackie?" I asked, surprising myself by addressing him directly. The agent immediately took over.
"Thank you for your suggestion. We will stay with the headshot."
He called the pitch, and in the end, it really didn't matter. Sample shirts were manufactured. Abraham and Strauss, a leading Brooklyn retailer, and a few buying offices or other stores, placed small test orders. Jackie's full face was centered on the shirt. The consumer response was disappointing. There was little wholesale interest beyond the metropolitan area, even though our trade ads had national readership. In time, the shirts became closeouts and the promotion ended. Outside New York City and its Brooklyn confines, Jackie was the constant target of thrown objects, bean balls, and the most vicious verbal epithets. Nigger boy was still a common slur. Maybe if we had included Pee Wee Reese on the shirts, it would have helped, but we never considered such a move. Reese was the shortstop and Jackie Robinson's playing field partner, the Southerner who befriended him and ignored the lily-white taboos and taunts from the fans. He went out of his way to embrace his teammate in public. Considering the insults and abuse, Pee Wee Reese's humanity and gallantry were heroic. When Tiger Woods won the Masters Championship by an unprecedented 12 strokes at Augusta in 1997,